Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
I'm Liam Delta.
Something's rotten in Astoria. You can smell the gas in the air.
If health care insurance is like betting on your life, then Oregon's health care lottery is tantamount to turning it over to Dr. Luck.
And Liberty Hall is in danger of losing its lease.
Portland area weather today, rain turning to showers, high near 60. Tonight, chance of showers early, then cloudy, low around 49. And tomorrow, patchy fog early, then mostly cloudy with a high near 62.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Corruption and the energy industry seem to go hand in hand, especially when it comes to LNG projects proposed for Oregon's ports. The state attorney general's office is accusing Peter Guerin, former director of the Port of Astoria, of using his clout to get his girlfriend a job with a company seeking to build the liquefied natural gas terminal near Astoria, near Warrenton. This is going to complicate things for Oregon LNG and Northwest Natural, both of which want to build LNG terminals, despite strong opposition from environmental groups and others. My guest this morning is Peter Hutala, director of Columbia River Business Alliance. Good morning, Peter, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much. Could you talk a little bit about this turn of events?
Well, 5 years ago, a company called Calpine Corporation came into the Astoria area and basically in the stealth of night negotiated a secret lease with the Port of Astoria that was not only a huge blow to the environment potentially, but also a really bad business deal. And we've been scratching our heads about how that happened for 5 years. Now the Department of Justice has come out and determined that there was official misconduct on the part of the director of the Port of Astoria at the time. And the district attorney of Putnam County, Joshua McKee, has said that folded into the decision by the Department of Justice is a suspicion of bribery.
So Guerin has quite a track record. Can you talk a little bit about his previous felony violation?
Yes, he recently was convicted of a felony violation of the Clean Water Act for deliberately allowing water that was not tested and potentially contained high levels of contaminants of DDT and PCBs to flow directly into the estuary waters.
So how is all of this going to affect the huge push on the part of the commissioners and the LNG industry to site terminals along the Columbia River?
Well, it remains to be seen. Certainly casts aspersion on the techniques and character of the people involved in this process. Whether the Port of Astoria has the guts and the legal wherewithal to try to set aside the lease that was really, I believe, negotiated fraudulently remains to be seen.
Well, thank you so much for that. My guest has been Peter Hutala, director of Columbia River Business Alliance. Thank you very much, Peter.
My pleasure.
This from the Open Publishing Newswire. Coos Bay is the front line in the struggle to protect the West Coast from liquefied natural gas terminals and pipelines. As Air Cascadia listeners know, Jordan Cove, PG&E, and other consortium members plan a pipeline with linear clear cuts across Oregon to the California border near Malin, Oregon. However, the net results of the investment into this very expensive project break down to this. The gas goes to California and the money goes to Houston. In the event of a seismic disruption along the coast, the timing of the tanker's arrival could determine whether the destruction is limited to a tidal wave or the combined catastrophe of a tidal wave and explosion of the stored LNG due to failure of the tanker's cooling system.
There's a twofer. The Open Publishing Newswire on Indie Media also has this. Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project, or BMBP, is opposing the Experiment Forest project outside of Bend. There's a scary concept, an experiment forest project. The EXF area is part of the Pringle Falls Experimental Forest. The project encompasses a beautiful, mature ponderosa pine forest that has not had significant natural or human disturbance since 1865. This forest is unique because of the heavy logging that had taken place outside of Bend for the last century, managing to miss this particular spot. It's one of the few and rare forests that's been allowed to grow back to its natural and native state. Right now, the Deschutes National Forest is accepting comments from you, listeners, on the draft environmental impact statement. All comments should be in by Monday, November 2nd. Not so much time, but go for it anyway.
Everybody loves lists, but nobody loves deadly toxins. So the Oregon DEQ has something for everybody. A list of persistent pollutants in state waters that pose a danger to fish and people. The Oregon legislature mandated the registry of 118 pollutants. It includes byproducts of burning fossil fuels, flame retardants, agricultural pesticides and herbicides, pharmaceuticals, and ingredients of cosmetics and antibacterial hand soap. Compiling the list was the easy part. Now comes the task of getting municipalities to develop plans for removing the toxins from wastewater they treat.
Here's a tough call. We, of course, want young people to have well-paid, fulfilling work, but shouldn't they be educated as well as trained? If we forfeit real learning, we are breeding generations with no knowledge of the world's cultural deep structure. And forget about science, that's completely off the table. Now comes Career Connections, a program run by the North Portland nonprofit Open Meadow. The program, which at any given time helps about 200 low-income Portland young adults get into career track jobs, was named one of the 14 most effective such programs in the nation. The study was funded, of course, by the Microsoft WizKids, but it was done by a New York-based Workforce Strategy Center. And that tells you all you need to know. American education is a factory designed to produce the raw material burned in Wall Street's furnaces.
Portland Indy Media has this from the Open Publishing Newswire. After 7.5 years, Liberty Hall is in danger of closing. It's true. Low-cost radical community space is an endangered species. Liberty Hall will not be able to hang on to its tenancy after either December 31st or January 31st. This after the three-month remodel is complete. The Liberty Hall people want input from the thousands of people who have enjoyed events at Liberty Hall over the years. Look for a community forum sometime before the end of the year.
In any industrialized nation, the idea of setting up a lottery to decide who lives and who dies would be scandalous. But that's what we've got right here in the U.S. of A. A healthcare crapshoot. Next month, the state is opening its insurance plan to 35,000 lucky low-income people who happen to win the live-or-die lottery. Four times as many qualify, but who's counting? There are still 45,000-plus people with nowhere to turn when they are ill. Independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the LundReport.org joins us this morning to talk about the situation. Good morning, David.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for being with us again. Talk a little bit about the lottery. In one sense, it's a very good thing. At least 35,000 people are going to be signed on. But what about the rest of those who are left out in the cold?
That's right. It kind of draws the line whether you're a half-full or half-empty kind of person here. Because it can be looked at one way in that the state at a time of economic collapse this year was able to expand the Oregon Health Plan, bring in some extra dollars for that, and provide insurance to 35,000 more people. But on the other hand, there's about 120,000 people that the state estimates are eligible for this Medicaid program. Those are poor adults, and they're also adding children to the plan. And so, it is a lottery, and it's a very unfair way to handle something that, in its essence, is unfair. It's the fairest way to handle something that is basically unfair.
Yeah, and of course, Oregon, too, still is in what might easily be considered economic crisis. But isn't this being penny-wise and pound-foolish in that we are going to pay one way or another for all those other people who are left out?
Right. I mean, this is an interim step. This is a demonstration of what we have been doing as a society for decades in patching our healthcare system together and slowly ensuring poor people, those less fortunate on the bottom end, and the wealthy have their plans fully secured. And this is the way we've sort of been handling the situation. And I think it's a striking demonstration of the failure of our system and what really needs to be changed, and that is a systemic solution.
How does it fit in with the healthcare debate? Does Oregon's decision to open the healthcare lottery have any impact on the current debate? Where do we stand?
Well, I think it's just another demonstration, like I said, of our failed system. And, you know, as you compare this in your intro to European countries, you know, this is a joke. This is a real joke that people need to be going through a lottery system to be provided health care, which many people view as a human right. And I think there's no greater example of that right now. And people in Congress would be, you know, to hear this story and to hear many other stories of people who are suffering in this country would do well for them right now.
Do you have, covering the state end of things, we do have enough time. If you have a brief update on the current status of the national health care debate taking place in D.C. and the schism in the Democratic Party over...
Yes. Well, I would just say that I think Ron Wyden has really redeemed himself these last few days and weeks. You know, yesterday he was on the Ed Schultz radio program, I heard him, and he was very outspoken in favor of the public option. He was optimistic that conservative Democrats, even some Republicans, more Republicans than you think was his words, would support a plan that at least guarantees choice. And I think Ron Wyden is right on that. No matter if we have a public option or not, 90% of Americans will not be able to enroll in that public option. And this is completely being missed on everybody in the media right now. And Ron Wyden is talking about it, and he's right. And he seems to be really speaking up about this, and it's something that we were looking for from him long ago. But I think he's hit a stride with this one.
The irony, of course, lying in the fact that 90% of the people be left out of a public option, and yet 80% of Democrats say that they favor a public option. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been independent journalist David Rosenfeld with thelundreport.org. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. All right.
Remember the death panel rabble that dogged town hall health care debates this past summer? The idea was to give seniors what they'd been clamoring for, coverage for the end-of-life talk with their doctors. The rabid right seized on this part of health care reform and turned it into a suicide tribunal. So now Oregon seniors will have to make their last wishes concerning medical care known via electronic registry, for forms telling doctors whether patients want life-sustaining treatment at the end of life.
Have fun making your way through that maze of electronica, seniors. You didn't want to have a talk with your doctor in person and have it paid for? Well, that's what you get.
This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, October 21st, 2009. Engineering is Kurt Lauer. Kathleen Stevenson is KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You're listening to All Natural, free-range, non-syndicated KBOO Radio. 90.7 FM in Portland. KBOO.FM on the web. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members. Welcome new members, and don't forget, it's always membership time at KBOO.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, Part 2, Anatomy of a Financial Coup d'Etat, and the Uyghurs at Guantanamo, 5 years without trial. The Supreme Court has agreed to take the case.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day.